Play and Social Interaction in Middle Childhood by Doris Bergen and Doris Pronin-Fromberg. Play is important to the optimum development of children during their middle childhood years. Unfortunately, though there is abundant research evidence showing that play supports young children's social, emotional, physical, and cognitive development, it's often been ignored or addressed only minimally. However, when young adults are asked to recall their most salient play experiences, they typically give elaborate and joyous accounts of their play during the ages of 8 to 12. Much of the play they report involves elaborate, pretense scripts conducted for a long duration at home, in their neighborhood, or in the schoolyard. The respondents report that they either personally played the roles or used small objects like action figures, cars, or dolls as the protagonists. They also report games with child-generated rules that they adapted during play. For example, they might have had bike riding contests or played a baseball-like game that uses fence posts for bases and gives five-out turns to the youngest players. These young adults believed that their middle childhood play helped them learn social skills, hobbies, and often career decisions that influenced their later adult experiences. For many children, the opportunities for such freely chosen play are narrowing. Much of their playtime at home has been lost to music, dance, or other lessons, participations on sports teams, using adult-defined rules, and after-school homework or test preparation sessions. At the same time, many schools, especially those considered to be poor performers, have reduced or eliminated recess. Often, the only outdoor time in the school day is the 10 to 15 minutes left from a lunch period, with rules such as no running allowed. Thus, the importance of play during middle childhood must be re-emphasized by educators who understand why it facilitates skilled social interaction, emotional regulation, higher cognitive processing, and creativity. At any age, for an activity to count as play, it must be voluntary and self-organized. Children identify an activity as play when they choose it, but they define the same activity as work when an adult chooses it for them. Play differs from exploring an object because such exploration answers the question, what can it do? In contrast, play answers the question, what can I do with it? Play in middle childhood continues to include practice play, such as repeating and elaborating on the same activities, often in the service of increasing skill levels, pretense such as using symbolic means to envision characters and scenarios, using literary and other media experiences, as well as real-life experience sources. Games with rules such as revising existing games or making up elaborate games that have negotiated rules, and construction play, which means building and designing structures or artistic works. All of these types of play show increasing abilities to deal with cognitive, social, and emotional issues, as well as increases in physical activity. The rules of play become apparent as children oscillate between negotiating the play scenarios and seamlessly entering into the activities. Whether in selecting teams and rules for gameplay or borrowing media characters to become the pretend characters. Script theory, a kind of grammar of play, outlines this oscillating collaborative process. The play process develops throughout the middle childhood years, with props becoming more miniaturized, play episodes more extended, language more complex, themes more coherent, and physical prowess more refined. As the memories of young adults testify, play continues to be very valuable during the middle childhood years. Social and emotional competence, imagination, and cognitive development are fostered by many types of play. First, social and emotional competence. Although adults may provide the space and objects with which their children play, during play, children practice their power to self-direct, self-organize, exert self-control, and negotiate with others. Even when engaged in rough and tumble play, if it was a mutual decision, the children involved demonstrate self-control. Such experiences build confidence in deferring immediate gratification, persevering, and collaborating. Even when the play deals with hurtful themes, the children's intrinsic motivation ensures that the play serves as pleasurable, meaningful, and purposeful for players. For example, role-playing threat, aggression, or death can help children deal with the reality of such issues. Second, affiliation. Children who negotiate their play together fulfill their need for affiliation. How to enter into play successfully is a negotiation skill, and it requires practice and the opportunity to be with peers. The loner child, who stands on the outside of a group and observes, may not have these skills. These children may meet their needs for affiliation by joining a gang or by resorting to bullying and violence. Third, cognitive development. Middle childhood play fosters cognitive development. Children exercise their executive skills when planning pretense scripts, using symbols in games, designing constructions, and organizing games with rules. For example, in construction play with blocks, exploratory manipulation precedes the capacity to create new forms. These three-dimensional constructions help older children develop the visual spatial imagery that supports learning in mathematics, chemistry, and physics. Outdoor and seasonal games that require eye-hand coordination and aiming, such as hopscotch, jump rope, tag, and baseball, also build the imagery that supports such concepts. Fantasy play can involve scripts that go on for days and become extremely elaborate. Sociodramatic play is a form of collaborative oral playwriting and editing, which contributes to the writer's sense of audience. Thus, scripts often are written to guide the play. Humor is very evident in middle childhood play, and although some is nonsense humor, most involves cognitive incongruity, which demonstrates what children know. That is, by using puns, jokes, exaggerations, and other wordplay, they show their knowledge of the world and gain power and delight in transforming that knowledge in incongruous ways. Much of this joking is designed to shock adults, but it also demonstrates children's increasing knowledge of the world. Playful use of language also shows up in Pig Latin and other code languages, which both include the playgroup and exclude others. Learning and performing magic tricks is also a delight and requires understanding the laws of objects and thus how to appear to bypass those laws. Fourth, imagination and creativity. Children dramatize roles and scenarios with miniature animals, toy soldiers, and media action figures, using themes from their experiences, including playing school. Some urban children might dramatize cops and gangs. Children in both urban and rural areas engage in such pretense, trying on a sense of power and independence by imagining what if there were no adult society. As they try roles and pretend possible careers, they seek privacy from adults during much of this play, preferring treehouses, vacant lots, basements, or other private spaces. Symbolic games, such as Monopoly, using board or online forms, as well as other computer or board games, add to the development of social learning and competence as children increasingly become precise about following the rules of the game. When children have had opportunities to practice pretense and use their imaginations, researchers have found that they're more able to be patient and perseverant, as well as to imagine the future. Being able to imagine and role-play a particular career, rent and furnish an apartment, and negotiate other aspects of daily living makes those actions seem less daunting later on. Play for children in this age group has changed. Today, there are virtual, technology-enhanced play materials, a constriction of play space from the neighborhood to one's own home and yard, and the actual loss of free time and school time to devote to activity play. For children in the middle childhood years, virtual reality technology now provides three-dimensional interactive games, such as Nintendo's Wii, which uses handheld devices that can detect motion. These interactive games may be so engaging that children, mainly boys, abandon other activities that build negotiation skills and social competence with other children. Children also increasingly instant message, creating abbreviation codes, a form of power, and demonstrate their deepening digital literacy. In addition, they listen to music on iPods, play virtual music instruments, and make virtual friends with whom they interact. This period of childhood affords different opportunities for children in less affluent area families, however, resulting in widening gaps in types of technology-enhanced play materials and experiences among children from different socioeconomic levels. For example, though children can initially access some websites without costs, devices and software require purchases that are seductive, with consoles and accessories rising in cost. Gender roles are also affected by technology. virtual reality computer games for girls, such as Mattel's Barbie Girls, reinforce stereotypes. Boys are especially interested in virtual action games. Spaces for play. Many parents are reluctant to allow their children to range far in their neighborhoods for the kinds of social experiences that were common for earlier generations. This could be caused by frequent media reports of potential dangers. Parents may see city environments as too dangerous, and suburban parents may believe that homes are too far apart to allow children to walk to friends' houses or gather in neighborhood outdoor areas. Time for freely chosen play. Administrators and teachers pressured to increase academic performance often reduce recess to a short period or omit it altogether because they believe this time is wasted or that it just will be a time for children to engage in bullying or other unacceptable behaviors. They also may fear lawsuits because of perceived dangers in freely chosen play, as indicated by prohibitions against running. In spite of research indicating that attention to school tasks may be greater if periods of recess are interspersed, some adults don't seem to realize the potential of play as a means of supporting academic learning. Thus, time for play has been reduced both in the home and school environments. Because middle childhood play is so valuable for social, emotional, cognitive, and physical development, and because some trends seem to prevent play's full elaboration and development during these years, adults must become advocates for play and facilitators of play in middle childhood. There are a number of ways they can do this. Providing play resources. When adults provide indoor and outdoor space and materials, children can adapt and use them creatively. The best kinds of materials have more than a single use, but can be modified by interaction with others and elaborated with imagination. Engaging in play interaction. When adults provide real choices, children can build the trust they need to cope with solving physical problems and negotiating emerging interpersonal play. Adults should appreciate process and effort without judging outcomes. They might assist less play-competent children's interactions by offering relevant materials to help their children be invited into pretense games that other children have started. Assessing play competence. Educators, in particular, often find that most children comply with their suggestions about play activities, but there may be one or two who do not appear to be participating, or, on closer observation, appear to comply, but in their own ways. Teachers, in particular, need to appreciate the multiple ways in which children may represent experiences and display a sense of playfulness. In addition, teachers' assessments should also include observations of children's play competence, especially as it relates to development of imaginative and creative idea generation. Supporting gender equity. Gender equity and children's aspirations are affected by sanctions and warrants. For example, boys have traditionally dominated play involving 3D constructions, though some girls are now participating in Lego robotics teams. To make girls more likely to participate, teachers should place themselves near 3D construction areas or planned border work. Teachers should be sure to provide materials and equipment that do not have gender-suggestive advertising. In this way, all children will be encouraged to have greater expectations for themselves. Play has always been important in middle childhood, but its forms have changed with society, and in some cases, its very existence has been threatened. Parents and educators can facilitate aspects of play that support emotional, social, cognitive, and creative growth. To understand the importance of play for these children, they only have to recall the salience of their own play during this age period.